And welcome in to the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. The crew is all here. Joe, good morning. How are you?
Good. I put basketball in the grid for the first segment. Is it going to happen?
I totally didn't delete it.
That's shocking. It must be.
I was going to point out January
11th. 2 months from March.
January 11th. First time that we were allowing college basketball talk today.
Since when?
Long time ago.
I'm vetoing the talk.
Yeah, that's right. That's a thing. Oh, yeah, I'm a lone wolf now.
The roles have reversed.
I looked at Joe at, where were we at, Titans press conference. I'm like, Joe, I just really can't get into basketball this season. He's like, you just don't like watching your team. I'm like, well, you're not wrong.
What's going on with them?
They suck.
Oh, do they?
Man, what? I mean, I didn't really get to watch a lot of that game, but they lost at home to freaking South Carolina. South Carolina's not good.
I'm aware.
Didn't Tennessee beat them by like 40 the other day?
I'm telling the listener. The listeners may not all know. What's that?
Didn't Tennessee beat them by like 40 the other day?
Yeah, they more than doubled them up on the road, like 80.
Remember when their football
42.
Team beat Tennessee by like 30?
Yeah. You're already going to that, man.
It's good because Kentucky's football team or basketball team apparently can't beat anyone except Louisville.
God.
That's okay. We'll revisit this in March.
Well, the problem is that your Wildcats are heading to Knoxville Saturday.
Oh, I'm aware.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very aware of that.
I
didn't appreciate your tweet.
Well, I tweeted. Yeah, no one took me up on the bet. I don't know if you saw this tweet, Robbie. I put out a tweet. I said, I will take – so Vanderbilt, played last night. I said Vanderbilt at Tennessee, Kentucky at Tennessee. Two games. I'll give you 40 points.
Okay.
For a car washing, which I think we still I probably owe you guys car washings anyway.
Yeah, but I was going to say, Joe, you owe me one.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
a long list of car washings.
Yeah. One day we'll just have just a big,
block
bunch,
party.
Yeah. Car wash. But the crazy thing is, Vanderbilt only lost 77-68 last night. So I would need a 32-point Tennessee win over Kentucky. I might get it, though. Like, I might still actually not have to wash a car, but no one took me up on the bet, so we'll never know.
Well, we'll know, but we just won't have to pay out. There will be no action that's involved with it. Tennessee gets the 77-68 win last night. They improved to 14-2 overall, 8-0 at home at Thompson Bowling Arena. But another win for Tennessee in SEC play last night. Joe, taking the 30,000-foot view of this Tennessee team, what have you seen from them so far this year? And it's always interesting to get into these conversations, especially when it relates to a Rick Barnes coach team. But what do you make of what this team could be as the season continues to unfold?
Well, first of all, and of course I feel this way because I like college basketball all year. But, Tennessee has a chance to win the SEC, and that's nothing at all to sneeze at. That's a huge deal. They don't have a lot of SEC championships in their history. I think they might be the best team in the SEC. Alabama and Tennessee are the best two. At times, I think Tennessee might be the best team in the country. Maybe that sounds dramatic, but I've watched all of them, and I just watched Purdue lose last week at home to Rutgers. Everybody has bad nights. Tennessee will have a couple clunkers before the end of the season. But their collection, like last night, Julian Phillips, he's the new five-star freshman. He's been fine. He's been good. He hasn't been overwhelming. Last night, there were some moments where you're like, oh, boy. He's just a different level of athlete. They have so much size and so much shooting, and they're the best defensive team. Right now, they have a chance to be one of the best defensive teams in history. Like, their numbers, their defensive efficiency numbers are outrageous. So, it's pretty good. And like you said, someone will always bring it to Rick Barnes in March, and we're going to see again. He's going to have a one or a two seed in March. So, someone tweeted at me the other day, it's the same thing we always see from Rick Barnes. I'm like, no, he does not have a team this good every year, man. No, that's not true. Now, he has had some, and they have not, other than the 0-3 Texas team, they have not gotten to the Final Four. But it's not like he has just a whole bunch of one seeds in his, in his back pocket. I mean, that's not easy to do. This could be a one seed. This could be a Final Four team. But,
So they said last year.
Well, absolutely. And they were good enough. And they were good enough, and they lost to Michigan. he's had too many teams that were good enough that didn't make it, so I understand the skepticism, but I'm just saying, watch this team play. Look what they've done. They're the only team that beat Kansas, who is going to be the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament. They're good, man. They're really good.
What about Vanderbilt on the other side? You know, I think the game last night, closer than a lot of people anticipated that it would be in terms of the final score against Tennessee on the road. What have you made of what you've seen from Vanderbilt so far this season?
Well, they're so good they made me mute myself. They're a lot better. I mean, they just went to Missouri, had a chance to win. That's a ranked team. That's one of the surprise teams of the SEC. Lost by a bucket. Last night, I mean, they were up at half, which was stunning, and Rick Barnes was not happy with his team. But they played great, and then, you know, Tennessee took over. Tennessee's a much better team. Vanderbilt's got a lot better, but they're also 8-8, and it's kind of becoming a – I mean, it's different because there's no Pippen. You know, they had a lot of injuries last year. Last year was an NCAA tournament team that had injuries really screwed them early, and they were really good at the end. They were an NCAA tournament caliber team at the end. But it's kind of this thing of these Vanderbilt teams, these Stackhouse teams, they have some losses you can't have early, and it really puts you behind the eight ball. And then you get better, and then they're probably going to win some SEC games and be a competitive team, but – it's not going to be – I don't even think they're going to be probably an NIT team because the SEC is so good. I just don't see them being like a 500 SEC team. So, I mean, they're actually not bad to watch. Liam Robbins is a really good player. The freshmen last night were actually really good for them, which is encouraging. But it's just – they're, you know, they're not going to do anything this year. And so people are going to be upset, and people are circling around Stackhouse right now in year four.
And he just got a contract extension, so I'm not sure them circling around it matters all that much.
Yeah. Now, I would not – my understanding is that this contract extension is not some massive, like, non-starter sort of thing. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So we've seen people get contract extensions
well, yeah.
and then lose their job.
Yes, we
and
have.
And I'm not saying that's going to happen with him. What's that?
I said GMs.
Well, there's that, too. Exactly, yeah. And again, I'm not saying he's going to be on the actual hot seat, but he's on the fan hot seat.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about that. And like you said, they had some brutal losses to start the season, and that just puts you behind the eight ball to where you just got to be so good in a basketball conference that has turned into a really good one in
it's
the SEC.
Incredible how much better the SEC's gotten.
Yeah, it really is. So good win for Tennessee last night. They'll take on Kentucky this weekend. Ball's at 14-2 overall so far this season, and looking good. Top five team in the country, and as Joe said, a chance to be a one seed as they continue to move forward here. So we'll see what happens with Tennessee as they continue to prepare and take on the Wildcats this weekend. By the way, speaking of that, with the Texas opening, did you see the fan that got kicked out of Rupp Arena last night for having the sign that says "Go to Texas" pointed at Cal?
No, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my.
It's getting a little dicey up there.
A little?
A little dicey.
Very.
Kyle freaking Tucker's off Twitter.
Wait, really?
I mean, I'm texting with him yesterday. Yes. I'm like, how do you get up? I mean, we've talked about this because of all the Elon Musk stuff. He's like, I'm just getting out of Twitter. I'm like, yeah, but don't. Just wait and see. Yeah, he's off. I'm searching Kyle's names. I'm like, I bet you some juicy Kyle Tucker tweets tonight. And there's all these Kentucky fans are like, what a time for Kyle Tucker to get off Twitter. So well, I'm sure people think it's because of, like, you know, like, I can't handle the negativity
now,
or something.
Let me just fully admit, I've not watched a single second of Kentucky basketball this year. I guess I probably will this weekend.
Yeah.
Why are they so bad?
Can't shoot for crap.
Yeah, it's – yeah.
Turnovers.
They don't have –
messy.
What's that?
I said turnovers, they play messy, they can't shoot.
But they shouldn't be this bad at all. Yeah, they need another shooter for sure. They got the kid from Iowa, but I mean, yeah, but I mean, Sheboy's still out there doing, I mean, he's a monster, you know?
Well, and he also gets like tripled too, yeah. And he doesn't have any help, so.
But it's like they, like the lineup suggests that, they should be a top 10 team. I mean, we talked going into the year, like this could be one of the most talented teams in a long time, right? I mean, there's a lot of talent there, but
it's a marathon. The season is a marathon. I'm trying not to get too riled up because I can't even watch the games at this point. But the whole Texas thing, you guys will think this is really funny really quick. I was sleeping on Tuesday night and my stepdad, Dan, you guys know Dan, he called me and it's like 11:30 the New York time, and I'm like, hello? And he's like, I heard that cow might be going to Texas. Heck yeah. I'm like, oh gosh, I can't deal with this right now. I was like, okay, got it. Night.
Heck yeah. Like, in other words, like, you would be.
Oh, he wants him out. No, he's like, cow sucks.
Do you want him out?
I'm not really sure. This season will tell a lot, though.
Things are changing over there.
I will say, like, I remember Tubby Smith, you know, when it just, and it's different. He didn't have the level of success. He did win a national title. He didn't have the level of success Cal did, but it was like, it's just best to just, you know what, before it even gets to the point of someone wanting to fire you, just leave. And
yes.
He took the Minnesota job. And I feel like maybe that might be the thing for Cal to do. Maybe, I mean, Texas, a lot of money, a lot less pressure.
A lot of money. No question about that. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into the Titans. What are the chances that the Titans could move up in the draft and try to go get a quarterback? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. We are live from the 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. So, Joe, there's a lot to discuss. There's a lot we have discussed with the Tennessee Titans this week, with the general manager search, the firing of the offensive coordinator. Who's going to be back on the roster next year? There's a whole lot going on with the Tennessee Titans right now. And part of the discussion is, what is the quarterback position going to look like next year for the Tennessee Titans? And this is list season. The regular season has come to an end. There's a whole lot of lists out there. Somebody sent me a list from CBS Sports yesterday. I think Cody Benjamin was the author. And it was like, well, if Aaron Rodgers isn't playing for the Packers, what are the destinations that he could be in? I think the Titans were like number three on the list. I was like, here we go. It's just list season here in the NFL. So this is what happens every year. Everybody speculates as to what the quarterback movement could look like, what the team could look like next year based on the decisions that have to be made, especially with the Titans. There's a lot of decisions that have to be made. And one thing I've thought about, one thing that we've discussed briefly, is would the Titans consider – moving up in the draft and selecting a quarterback. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to move up to the number one pick that Chicago has right now, but if you're the Titans, who are currently sitting at number 11 in the NFL draft order, would you consider moving up to try to go land a Bryce Young or a C.J. Stroud or, I guess, a Will Levis, if you really like him, in the draft process? Would that be something that you consider? I think it should be something that they consider. Joe, my question is, do they have the assets and the capital in order to do it where it would be worth it to move up to go grab one of those guys? And that's an answer that right now I just don't have.
So, yeah, it's a great question. It's not necessarily a question I expected to be. Like you said, you know, to move up to one. But I can tell you this, in the media world, that I was approached yesterday by our Bears writer at The Athletic.
Okay.
Because the Titans are considered a candidate to move up to number one. So I had to write something up, which I don't think has come out yet, but I had to write something up about like whether they would be interested in it. And I'm like, man, we're really talking about the Titans moving up to number one, which to me would have to probably – mean the, like, if they were going to outbid other teams, because, you know, then you're asking the Bears to move down to 11.
Yep.
I think you're talking about maybe some interest in a veteran or two. Maybe Jeff Simmons. A Derrick Henry. Maybe both. Maybe them and picks. I mean, do the Bears want to take that on? The Bears have incredible amount of cap space, so it's not like cap space is a consideration, but they're going to be in the free agent market. So, like, they have the room to take on players like that. I don't know. You're talking about blowing it up.
You're talking about a whole different look right there if you're the Tennessee Titans. And then there's the option of running it back with Ryan Tannehill, retaining him as your quarterback, and keeping things status quo at the quarterback position as you move forward in the next year as well. It's a very interesting debate. I've seen Titans fans on both sides of it. I've seen Titans fans say, forget the draft pick, forget Tannehill, go get a free agent, go trade for a quarterback right now. So there's a lot going on the quarterback discussion as it relates to the Tennessee Titans. And Tim Hasselbeck was on Caroline Willie and D-Mace yesterday and talked about the quarterback situation for the Tennessee Titans and how Ryan Tannehill fits in. Here's what Tim Hasselbeck had to say yesterday on Caroline Willie and D-Mace.
Well, I definitely move forward with Ryan Tannehill for sure, and then with Derrick Henry also. Part of, I think, what I would say about, you know, Ryan Tannehill, and I think this ends up being the case, like I said this a while back, I think he's more a candidate for, a renegotiation than to be a cap casualty. And I think you can get, worse, easier than you can get better at the position. So you just look at, kind of what happened this season. So now, all that to say, I definitely would be aware of the quarterback market, like what's going to happen with Jimmy Garoppolo, what's going to happen with Derek Carr. There's going to be movement for sure, and there are going to be openings as well. Does Tom Brady retire? What's the situation, out at the Rams? So I think it definitely needs some monitoring. But I also think that, with Ryan Tannehill, I can't say that I feel like, he was given the best opportunity to have a ton of success, with the receiver situation. Now, when he had, probably the appropriate players around him, I think he played well. And I think that's kind of, why we saw what happened with John Robinson.
So that was Hasselbeck yesterday on Caroline Willie and D-Mace, and talked about how he believes Tannehill would be probably a more likely candidate for a renegotiation, as he put it, than he would be a cap casualty. What did you make of what Hasselbeck had to say there as it relates to Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah, and I mean, I think he makes good points, and that's obviously the totally other side of this situation. And I got to say, I've really bounced back and forth, not necessarily between, like, Tannehill Henry or this, like, just absolutely. We've talked about the trying to be high in the draft in 24 for, like, possibly better quarterbacks. I just, the more I think about it, and I know that Vrabel was non-committal and he was evasive, like, you wouldn't expect anyone. No, how could you be definitive when you really don't have a GM? I don't see how he has an appetite for any sort of, like, let's have a crappy season. Or I'm not saying he doesn't have an appetite for a young quarterback, but and they know, like, at some point they have to have the next quarterback. But I tend to, as I think more and more about it, lean toward what Tim Hasselbeck saying right there is what I think they'll do. And I think I would do too.
I think by far the most likely scenario is that Ryan Tannehill is the starting quarterback next year. And we've talked about that. When you start going through all the different options, I think the most likely scenario is that he's the starting quarterback. I'll say this, and this is just me personally. Like, if I'm the Titans, I don't know why you'd have much interest in a Jimmy Garoppolo or a Derek Carr or somebody like that. I mean, look, I've heard that getting floated out there, and maybe you could end up getting those guys for cheaper. I don't know. I understand that Tannehill carries a $36 million cap hit with him next year, and that's a lot of money. Really, in today's quarterback market, it's not that much money, but it's a lot of money. But I just, if I'm the Titans, I don't know why you're signing up for a lateral move of another year or two with a Jimmy Garoppolo or Derek Carr. Just, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me to do that.
Zero sense. I would take Tannehill over both of those guys. Tannehill, and I know what he did last time out in the playoffs, and it's still there. It's still lingering there, for the next opportunity, if one comes with the Titans or anybody else. But, I mean, I think if you plug Tannehill into those Niners teams, plug him in right now.
Yeah.
Tannehill, not in his current state. Tannehill, who could move around.
As a functional ankle?
Yes. I think you'd be in pretty good shape. And, yeah, I mean, Carr's talented, but, no, I mean, there's something to be said for the locker room. I know it's when you are talking about a team that lost seven straight games, it's like, is there? But, yeah, I think there is. I think the last game and the way that they still almost won some games with, you know, Joshua Dobbs and all the other things they had going on, I think it does speak to a pretty good locker room, and Tannehill's a huge part of that. But beyond that, it's about can he still play? And I still think that you can get a really good season out of him and Derrick Henry if you can make the fixes. And that's not easy at all. But it's easier in the short term to try to do that for one season with the defense you have, right, than it is to hope that this other sharp turn can lead you to something good anytime soon.
Yeah. Now, the one thing with the Titans that I would say is you're looking around your division right now, and you just saw what Trevor Lawrence can do. You just saw the second half of the season that he had and what that can mean as you move forward here. The Texans are picking at number two, and I would assume they're taking a quarterback, whether that is Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, whatever it ends up being. And the Colts, I would assume, are also going to be in the market for a quarterback. Hopefully, for their sake, drafting one this time. But who knows? They could go sign, you know, I don't know. Who's the veteran quarterback? They could go get Derek Carr. Who knows?
Ballard
yesterday said, yeah, I think Matt Ryan still has some stuff left in him. And
sure.
He downplayed them drafting a quarterback, mm-hmm. which is interesting.
Well, this time of year.
Yeah,
no GM.
You say the opposite of what you're going to do. Right. Yeah,
but I say all that to say, like, if you're the Titans, you could very easily be looking at a situation where the three other teams in your division have quarterbacks that at least they think are going to be their quarterbacks of the future. What about you? And if you're the Titans, if you're doing your scouting this year and you just are in love with a Bryce Young or a C.J. Stroud or whoever it would be, like, would it be worth it to mortgage some of your present team with draft picks and maybe trading some veterans back to go get the quarterback of the future? Because to your point, you're eventually going to have to find your quarterback of the future. I don't think it's Malik Willis. I just don't. If you love, let's say you're in love with Bryce Young, would you do whatever it takes this year to go get Bryce Young if you're the Tennessee Titans? I would consider it. Now, is the package that you have to put together, is it going to be good enough? I don't know. But would you try to do whatever you could do to go get a quarterback this year if that's the way you feel about one of those guys?
Yeah, you'd have to. That's the thing. It's like you'd have to be, like, absolutely convinced, like, you know, this is going to be the next great quarterback. Of course, the Titans have been convinced before. Didn't work out. Doesn't really matter. I mean, that's just, you can go through all these teams in the NFL. You can find franchise quarterback draft picks that didn't work out.
Right.
Now, sometimes you, like, your Packers, well, they didn't draft Favre, but, you know, sometimes it does work out. Sometimes with the Colts, it does work out. But most teams, I'd say just about every team, has some high picks that flop.
They do, and the difference would be, like, the Titans, when they drafted Mariota or Locker or Young, they didn't move up. That's where they were drafted.
That's how bad they were.
That's how bad they were. This would be a little different. You'd have to, I would assume, if you're going to get one of those guys, move up from 11 to do it.
And then it's another question of, I mean, even, like, if you're Vrabel, and obviously, it's like everybody has to be talking about the direction. But if you're Vrabel, like if you're talking about a terrible season to get to, you know, high next year, what does that mean for you? You know, there's also, like, going through the terrible season. Like, is Amy Adams Strunk okay with that? You know, do you have the appetite to have a 14-15 like season? Like, if you traded away Simmons, Henry, whatever. You traded away veterans plus picks to get this quarterback who now you can't protect, just like Mariota in 2015.
Yep.
Right? No, there's a lot that goes with that that's not positive.
So, Titans fans, what do you think? If you're the Titans, would you consider moving up to draft a quarterback this year? Are you running it back with Ryan Tannehill? How are you handling the quarterback position? Let us know at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll get into more of that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are discussing the Tennessee Titans and the quarterback position. Should the Titans consider moving up in the draft this year to take a quarterback? Should they run it back with Ryan Tannehill? Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Ty on the text line. I don't think they should move up. What is the greatest need or needs? One A offensive line, 1B wide receiver. If quarterback isn't top two, don't do it. Tannehill isn't that expensive, and he's completely capable of winning meaningful football games. This from Ty on the text line. Ron says we could steal the quarterback from the Texans by trading with Chicago. This from Ron on the text line. You could.
That's true.
Texans, Lovie Smith gave it to him.
My actual dream for this draft is that the Texans trade up to get the one.
It would be awesome. Lovie Smith just Lovie. Smiling in
yeah,
the background.
Put Lovie's beard.
That would be ideal for Chicago. Have Houston trade up and then have somebody else trade up to get number two, and then you just get all these picks.
There you go. Just keep trading down.
There you go.
Matt from D.C. on the text line says, I'm not moving up. I'm clearing cap space, draft some linemen and another wideout, sign some good free agents and run it back. Shape the offense around Chig, Burks, Henry, and Tannehill. The right moves and the window is back. This is from Matt from D.C. on the text line.
Yep. That's where I am. Again, it's if you just compare quarterbacks, obviously, I mean, Tannehill's not what you want compared to some of these AFC quarterbacks. It's weird, too, if you look at the AFC and NFC playoffs, how different it is,
yep.
By the way. AFC playoffs, it's absolute quarterback heaven, okay? NFC playoffs, it's like Kirk Cousins. It's weird, almost.
You want to take a guess at who the oldest starting quarterback in the AFC playoffs is?
The oldest starting quarterback in the AFC playoffs might be Mahomes?
That is exactly who it is.
Man.
It's Patrick Mahomes is the oldest starting quarterback in the AFC.
And that is like
– he is 27.
And the big picture – And the big picture view for the Titans is, I mean, that's tough. Like, it's going to be hard to get to your next person without some pain, right? Like, how do you pull that off? Basically, how you pull that off is, like, with the Chiefs. I mean, look, where did the Chiefs get Mahomes? Was he 10?
I believe he was 10.
10 or 11, right?
Yep.
Okay. Well, if there's a Mahomes in this draft who would be there for you, Titans, well, there you go. But I don't think there is. And by the way, please don't go back in time and yell at the Titans for not taking Mahomes there. Mariota had just come off his best year he'll ever have by far in the NFL. His second year. Like, you were going with the rookie clock. That's the whole thing, is having the rookie quarterback clock. That's why Mike Tannenbaum, I mean, you've heard his proposal, right,
for the
Bears?
Yeah, trade Fields and go reset the quarterback clock with Young.
He says, first of all, for a first and a third, I guess you could get a first. Who would give a first and a third for Justin Fields?
Oh, somebody
would. The Jets or somebody like that, maybe?
Yeah.
I think that's probably possible. Yeah, then you reset the clock, you know, the rookie clock, which totally makes sense. But let's also remember this, with the cap going up, it is real. You have to make cap cuts. Everybody does. Or everybody's roster would look different if it didn't exist. But it is stretchable. It is malleable. And Tannehill's number, especially if you can do something with his contract to get his cap number down this year. I mean, it's actually not bad at all.
It's
compared
not.
To some of these guys. I mean, these cap hits are in the 40s and 50s now. You know, certainly a lot in the 40s. So that's something to keep in mind, too. It's not the same as a rookie clock, but it's pretty good. If you can be great around him. Said a year ago, can it be done? Can the Titans stop being bad around him?
Well, that's the thing. Can you stop being bad? Being great around him, I don't know how realistic that's going to be next year based on the work they have to do in this offseason. Based on trading A.J. Brown. But can you be significantly better around him than you were this year? I think that should be the goal. Now, having said that, the playoff quarterbacks this year are kind of the microcosm in the AFC of what the Titans eventually are going to have to get figured out, right? Because you have Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Lamar Jackson, I guess if he's healthy and starting, Trevor Lawrence is in there, Herbert is in there, and to a lesser degree, Tua with the Dolphins.
And which still don't know about him, right?
Yeah, we still don't know about him, but those are the starting quarterbacks for those teams, and they're all young, and they're all mostly, I mean, still Tua for different reasons, mainly health-related this year. We'll see what happens on his front as they move forward here. But really, those top three that we talked about heading into the season. Like, at some point, if you're the Titans, you're going to have to find an answer for the other teams in the AFC who have quarterbacks named Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Joe Burrow. I mean, those three guys are going to be around for a long time. They're going to be really good for a long time. And we've talked about this before. It's not impossible to beat those guys if you don't have a superstar quarterback. But, man, it would sure help if you had a superstar quarterback to get in that conversation with those guys. So at some point, if you're the Titans, and maybe it's not this year, but it's got to be coming some point in the next couple of years, you've got to attempt to find that next quarterback if you're the Titans. Maybe it is this year in the draft. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's a couple years down the road. But at some point, those guys aren't going anywhere. You're going to have to find an answer for it.
Yeah. And, I mean, somebody mentioned Hooker. You in the brain, you know, the Hooker-Dobbs all-ball QB situation. Being, you know, very interesting to see where Hendon Hooker goes. You know, but to me, it's like you kind of did the take a flyer on a not low in the draft, but not first round with Malik Willis, which, by the way, we didn't mention him yet. And I'm not moving on from, like, Malik Willis will never play a meaningful down at quarterback in the NFL. I mean, he's got a humongous offseason ahead of him. He's a talented player who's under contract, so that's something to keep in mind. The backup quarterback situation for the Titans is going to be fascinating.
Yeah, it is.
And that's another thing Tim Hasselbeck mentioned yesterday, which I agree with, which is, like, you can have three. You can keep three. And they may have to do that to have a two that could come in and win for you, but you'd rather he improve to be that guy. But, you know, you're absolutely right. Let's also remember, like, the Ravens got their quarterback with the last pick of the first round. The Eagles got their quarterback where did Hurts go?
I think he was second round.
Hurts was a second round pick, right? You know, I mean, now, can you count on that? No, I'm just saying, I mean, those are examples of getting quarterbacks lower. And there are way more examples of quarterbacks who went super high who absolutely flamed out. You know, that's where it's – I mean, it's all about can you find the quarterback, and there's so much more failure than success on that. So if you feel like you have a quarterback who can win for you, there's value in that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the whole thing. And there, look, there's also – I mean, the Derrick Henry aspect of this is also part of this. And they move on from Tannehill – I mean, yeah, I could see a situation where, like, they do something else and it's like a younger quarterback or something and then they still have Henry. But, you know, I could also see a situation where it's like if you're going to move out from Tannehill, well, then it's just a new era altogether.
Yeah, I could absolutely see that. And the bottom line is as it relates to the draft this year, to me, like, you've got to be absolutely in love with one of these guys to even really consider this. Like Bryce Young – C.J. Stroud. Look, I'll say C.J. Stroud, to me, you know, I always knew he was good. Quite frankly, I had watched him some this year, and I was a little underwhelmed.
Me too.
And then the Georgia game, I was like, oh, okay. So that's what he can be.
Not underwhelmed.
Not underwhelmed in that game. No question about it. So you have to be, I think, totally in love with one of these quarterbacks if you're the Titans to consider doing this. But if you are, I think it's worth considering this year if you're the Titans. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We have more of your thoughts to get to on this coming up next. The quarterback situation from the Titans, we'll get to that. Also get to some comments from David Poyle on our show yesterday that caused quite the stir online. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knazovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. We'll have David Beauclair from SI.com coming up at 7:30, get his thoughts on the Titans and the many different decisions that have to be made as they enter into the offseason. Looking forward to that coming up at 7:30. Right now, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What should the Titans do as it relates to the quarterback position? Alex from Montreal on the text line says, the Titans got to look at next year's quarterback draft class. This year, fix the offensive line and wide receiver room. This from Alex from Montreal. Now, I hear what he's saying there, and there's nothing wrong with that line of thinking. My question is, if you keep Tannehill and you fix the offensive line and you add to the wide receiver room, how bad are you going to be next year to really get a top quarterback pick?
Right, yeah. So a longer example of that, I won't read the whole thing, but trading any valuable asset we have for either top picks, putting Dobbs or Willis at quarterback, Hassan's at running back, suck, and then next year in the draft, good quarterback, and then hopefully one of the guys you trade. Anyway, you know, you can probably find a decent running back, but you need a top-tier receiver. And my answer was, I hear all of it. It could work. I have my doubts about Vrabel. A lot of people in that building having the appetite to have a year like that. And certainly people like Kevin Byard, people like Derrick Henry.
Yep.
If he's, you know, if they're around. Well, a lot of these guys, I mean, it's just when you're so good on one side, potentially. I mean, you're good. You could be really good on one side. And you're so deficient on the other side, except that the other side, you still do have core people at key positions who have had a lot of success for you. It leans toward see what you can fix in an off season.
Yeah.
It just, I mean, can they actually have a decent offensive line next year?
Well, I don't think it's a huge bar to clear to be better than this one.
Well, no, it's not tough to be better than this one.
No.
But can you be? You do need to be. I mean, you do need to be greater on Tannehill.
You do.
You do. I could dream up a scenario in my head where Chigakonkwo year two ready to rock, and he's a better blocker, and he doesn't get the holding call that was probably one of the biggest plays of the game the other day.
Yep.
And Henry's still great. Certainly, I don't think that's a stretch. The dude had 1,500 yards this year behind that offensive line. But Burks, Phillips, another receiver. But the offensive line that's where it's like, can you be, you know, you have to address just about every spot. And Nicholas Petit-Frere.
Yep.
A big question to me right now. Like, what is he going to be in year two?
It's a great question because you need him to be, you need him to take a next step and be a starter. Like, of all the things you've got to address on the offensive line, like, you don't need to add right tackle to that list.
Right. Like, you need to have some positions where you feel good. And this is, by the way, I'll come back around to part of why I like the idea of just seeing if Taylor Lewan will come back on a cheap deal.
Yeah,
I like the idea. I know some people don't, but I do. Also, Nate Davis. Are you signing Nate Davis?
That depends a lot on the money. I mean, it's a guard, so it's not like you have to pay him tackle money. The best version of Nate Davis, yeah, I like it. But health was a problem this year.
It's been a problem.
It's been a problem, and you can't have that moving forward. So that's a heck of a decision they're going to have to make. Luke on the text line asks if the Titans could possibly look at trading for DeAndre Hopkins. We're going to get into that coming up a little bit at 8 o'clock. But I will say this. To me, Joe, if you're bringing back Tannehill, you're bringing back Henry, and you're bringing back most of the defense, to me signals that you still think you're in a window. If you're not going for it with those guys coming back, what are you doing? Why are you bringing them back? So we'll get into more of that coming up at 8 o'clock. But that would kind of tell you my thoughts on that. If you're going to bring those guys back, you might as well just try to maximize it. Otherwise, what are you doing?
Even if you have PTSD from recent attempts that went wrong.
Yep. So we'll get more into that coming up at 8 o'clock. Joe, we had Predators General Manager David Poyle on the show yesterday, and he caused quite the stir with some of the comments that he had as it relates to Elli Tolvanen yesterday. Now, I'll be honest. When I asked Poyle the question yesterday and I heard his response, I mean, it made me raise my eyebrows a little bit, but I honestly expected it to generate the reaction that it did. But boy, did it generate a reaction yesterday on social media. People were mad at David Poyle's comments as it relates to Elli Tolvanen. And here's what Poyle had to say yesterday on our show about Elli Tolvanen, the process that went into placing him on waivers, and how he views the success that Tolvanen has had, albeit very early, in Seattle.
I really believe if he's going to be successful, he needs to play in the power play, which is he's getting that opportunity in Seattle. And for us, he was just getting the second power play and some shorter periods of time to exhibit his offensive capabilities. And we fourth line, which was, again, a little bit of cleanup minutes and playing know, 10 minutes or so every night. So did we give him enough opportunities? Should we have played him higher? I think the, you know, time will tell. Seattle's a team that plays a little bit differently than us. They really rotate almost their four lines equally, and offensively they put him in a position higher than we have. So this could be a mistake on our part. That's on me if he turns out to be really successful. But we thought we tried him in a lot of different areas and different places. We were really hoping that we would get him through on waivers so that he could play in Milwaukee a little bit and bring him back up. But you know, we had to make some decisions. We were not going anywhere. And again, he's doing well, great for him, and we've been doing better, not necessarily because of him, but because we've made a decision to go in another direction with the different types of players. So time will tell how that works out.
So that was Poile yesterday on our show, and a lot that he talked about there with Ellie Tolvanen. The part that really generated a lot of reaction yesterday was, quote, "This could be a mistake on our part. That's on me if he turns out to be really successful. We thought we tried him in a lot of different areas, different places," and mentioned that they hoped that he got through on waivers. And let me just tell you, I mean, my Twitter feed is still just getting lit up with reaction to that quote. Obviously, Predators fans are the bulk of the reaction, but it got into Seattle Kraken Twitter yesterday. Somehow it got into Edmonton Oilers Twitter, and people were yelling at Ken Holland about Jesse Puljujarvi yesterday. Like, it's gone all the way around the league, pretty much, of people yelling about this yesterday from David Poile. What did you make of his comments on Ellie Tolvanen and the reaction to it that we've seen thus far?
Wow, it's leaked into other Twitters, huh?
Yeah.
Man. Well, when he said it, I immediately thought, well, somebody's going to get mad about that. But the thing is, like, now that I'm thinking about it, like, this could have been a rant. But I'll keep it short. But, you know, we complain all the time about these people we cover. Coach speak, player speak, GM speak, not being honest.
Yep.
Not, you know, not taking responsibility. Vrabel, you know, being evasive, or, you know. And so you get a situation where it's like, well, that's on me if it goes wrong. Like, to me, thank you. That's good for you. I'm impressed. And yet the reaction to this is why they don't do it, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you allow a little bit of that and just have the security in yourself to be like, yeah, it might be a mistake on my part. Again, I'm impressed with that. I appreciate that. But people go nuts about it. So don't say anything.
Well, I said this last night on Preds Insiders. I understand if you're a Predators fan that, and I understood this at the time, right? You lost a former first-round pick for nothing on the waiver wire. So I understand being upset about that. I think that's totally fair game. I think it's totally fair game to look at him and what he's done so far in Seattle and think, okay, well, how in the world has he gone to Seattle? And in the first five games, he scored 3 goals, and he's been productive, and he scored a couple goals on the power play that were just absolute rockets and didn't look like that at all, really, basically, the last 2 years that Tolvanen was here. How has that happened? I think all of that is fair. The only thing that I've tried to remind people and try to bring up in this conversation is it's been 5 games. Like, you got to give it a little bit more time before you just totally freak out. We've seen this happen. Like, I brought up yesterday on Preds Insiders, not that these two players are necessarily comparable, because quite frankly, Kyle Turris had been way more productive in his career prior to coming here than Ellie Tolvanen had with the Predators. But, like, think about Kyle Turris. Kyle Turris, he first got here, I think he had 17 points in his first 17 games. I mean, dude was lighting it up.
And then he had 11 the rest of his
career. And
then
he just
exaggeration,
was
yeah.
Not good after that. So we've seen players go to different places and start off really strong and then fizzle out. We've seen Ellie Tolvanen go on a hot streak before. I talked about it. A couple years ago, he had about a 15-game stretch where he looked really good. And that's where a lot of you thought that the light was coming on and he was turning the corner. I'm not saying that he's not going to keep this up in Seattle. Maybe he does. All I'm saying is let's give it a little bit more time.
Yeah, it's people are. I think the reaction is like the Preds just lost a star. I don't think that's going to play out that way. We'll see. If it does, then there are bigger questions in it, and it's probably more for David or for John Hines. And that's the thing. Poyle kind of was like, fourth round minutes fourth line and 10 minutes, and maybe we could have played him higher. But I thought he had opportunity. I mean, he had opportunity. Maybe you could have given him more this year, but overall, he got opportunity. I mean, Alex Doherty, who I like a lot, A to Z Sports, put up a poll of the worst mistakes of David Poyle last 5 years. The three choices he gave were Granlund Fiala, Kyle Turris trade and sign, and the waving of Ellie Tolvanen. Ryan Hartman, a first-round pick, doesn't register here? I mean, Poyle's got some greatest hits here.
He does. And
I don't think this one's going to register.
Nothing approaches Kyle Turris. Let me just go ahead and put that out there. Nothing approaches Kyle Turris.
Which, by the way, let me raise my hand. I can only raise my hand. I loved it at the time.
I did too.
Loved it.
I did too.
Now, this one, everybody, obviously, it's like instantly you can see, oh, they hoped he cleared waivers. Like, it looks bad right from the start, and then he's scoring. So it's a different situation. There's no wait and see, right? Like, you just lost a player.
Right.
You didn't get anything back. So it's not like, well, we'll see if this works out. You know, see if Samuel Girard becomes good, which he did. But I don't think this will end up registering over time.
Well, and by the way, Tolvanen last night, as Lance on the text line points out, no goals, no assists last night for the Kraken.
Oh, here we go. Let's watch him every night. Can we go back to A.J. Brown's stat line?
See what happened. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get back into the Tennessee Titans. Some very interesting comments from Mike Vrabel on Monday as it relates to the injuries, the wild injury issues the Titans have had over the course of the past couple of years. And some of his thoughts on that. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.